diplomats are for me, that's like pretty hard to swallow. Like, it would be hard for me to give a reading of it now as like a somewhat more grown man. I'm glad people still enjoy it in spite of the lack of cell phones.
I liked the script you wrote for X-Files a few years ago. Are you interested in writing for any other television shows now?
Not really. I mean, unless I were doing it for a friend, in effect. Like, I had met Chris Carter on the plane going up and down Vancouver to L.A., and he just suggested it one day over coffee in business class. You could do one, he says. But I can't think who that would be. Chris Haddock in Vancouver has a great show that I think they're still shooting called Intelligence. This is the one after, he's the Da Vinci's Inquest creator, but he has a new CBC series called Intelligence that's about a police and sort of Canadian federal government intelligence squad, which sounds really silly, but it's just like a great show, really terrifying, and morally terrifying, like really, really, really disturbing. And I don't know if I could do it, but if he asked me, I would probably try.
And I noticed a certain similarity between the premise of Deep Space Nine and the premise of one of your very, very older short stories.
I don't even know what Deep Space Nine is.
It's one of the Star Trek shows. There's a ship parked at the mouth of a wormhole.
Oh, no. But there were lots of, like, I didn't invent that ship parked beside the wormhole meme. That was an old thing. But thank you.
Yeah. Can you comment on Watches, Anime, and Wealth?
Okay, Watches, Anime, and
Wealth.
Well, you can never have too many watches, too much anime, too much wealth. I don't have as many watches as I used to have. I've kind of like, I'm in recovery from collecting watches, and it's good. Anime is kind of off to the side for me. I haven't actually watched that much of it. The first time I went to Tokyo, I got to meet Otomo, the guy who created Akira. And we went to his house in Tokyo. He actually had a house. That's how rich he was. Freestanding structure in the middle of Tokyo. It wasn't very big. And we went in, and there was this enormous gray box. Actually, there were three or four of them. And they were making this weird sound, and there was this weird green light. And this paper was scrolling out of them with these like drawings for this film, animation they were doing. And he said, "These are fax machine we like very much in Japan." It was the first time I ever saw a fax. He said, we could not send our written language before with any ease until we had this machine. It was like the very first time I saw a fax, and I went home and told somebody about it like it was magic, and they said, "We've got one at the office." And eventually I had one myself. That's how, you know, that's how technology works.
Hi. I was wondering, there's been sort of a fairly strong thread of marketing and advertising stuff in the last few books. Where's the fascination come from?
It's not fascination per se. It's literary naturalism. I don't know how one could write about this culture in the year 2007 without, it would be like writing about Victorian England without factories. I think it's what we do. We do marketing. Like we do marketing, and we create celebrities. And we don't build such good cars anymore. Yeah, the celebrities are getting kind of cheesy too.
Do you think that new science fiction writers can make it without there being some sort of innovative storytelling, like non-linear plots, or without being terribly marketed, kind of like Rowling might was?
I don't really know. I have like so little these days to do with the current state of science fiction. What happens to me with the current state of science fiction is I go into SF specialty shops and the covers freak me out. The covers are so hideous on American science fiction books now. It all looks like young adult. So, it is really so bizarre. And if you really want to see the difference, go in an SF specialty store and then go in a children's bookstore. And when you go in the children's bookstore, those are like the most beautifully designed books manufactured in this country. They're just stunningly intelligent covers. You go back to SF and there's this awful kind of kitsch. Oh, just like too strange, like Franklin Mint. I don't know. I can't really get past that. I must have had to get past some version of that in the early 1980s to get published at all. But I've kind of lost my science fiction thing.
Well, I don't know if it's cool to ask a second question, but I'm here anyway. I wanted to find out what you read on a daily basis, what kind of magazines and newspapers, and some favorite novels of yours, or favorite readings, historical, whatever you read, as an insight.
I think that I'm sort of coming to the conclusion that the novel, you know, the fiction writing parts and the fiction reading parts are the same parts, and at the end of a hard working day, those parts are tired. So I don't, you know, stop writing and go, oh boy, now I'm going to read some fine novel. If I'm going to read anything, it's usually nonfiction. Although my favorite author of the past, like, 20 years, I'd have to say it's Ian, that's with two I's, Sinclair. And if you were looking, for a place to start trying to read Ian Sinclair, you could Google around and find a short story collection called Slow Chocolate Autopsy. And I like the earlier Cormac McCarthy really a lot, like in terms of all-time favorite novels. I'd have to say Sutri and Blood Meridian and the Orchard Keeper and Child of God are some favorite novels of mine. And I don't know. It's kind of like I started out, if I could have made a living being a really good reader, I wouldn't have had to write any of these things. So when I started out, I was a really good reader of novels. And I've kind of lost it. And I think I've lost it through the writing of novels. But strangely, I feel no sorrow.
Well, you must read on the toilet. What magazines do you read? We all read on the toilet. I'm sorry.
Fortean Times. Fortean Times, Giant Robot, and Juxtapose are my three favorite magazines. Currently, my only three favorite magazines. I think the web replaced magazines as novelty aggregator in my life. I'll take one more and then I'll sign books.
I'm really curious about your inspiration for Mama on
Anarchia in Pattern Recognition, and all of her heinous literary graduate students on the. I happen to be a very, the bane of my life is my PhD, and I'm really curious about that because I find it great and funny, and I just wanted you to speak to that a little bit.
Oh.